You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
Yeah. 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up and down close.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes. Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives.
I'm the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, man, I'm mellow yellow jello tonight, baby. I gotta tell you, I'm feeling awful good. And I told everybody in the chat room, love is in the air. Oh, baby. I feel good, man. James Brown said it all. He said it all. He says, I feel good. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing great. Hey, Tom, do we have a... we had a guest that was coming on there. Do you know what the area code of that guest was? I have a couple area codes on that I don't.
602?
I got 602.
You got 360?
That's the one I'm looking for.
Okay, good, buddy.
360, I'm going to mute you out, and then when we bring you on, I'll announce you, okay?
Okay.
Well, I got to tell you, some interesting things have been happening, my God, all over the country. You know, I've had the guys over here, and I've been over there, and they've been there, and I've been here. So, you know the old saying, wherever you go, there you are. And I got to tell you this, it's been exciting. I mean, I traveled in 4 days, 51 hours, and I forget where I ended up, but I got to tell you this, it was wonderful. You know, we got one hell of a show, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned, because our first guest is a Lollapalooza. This guy is one hell of a guy. He had the balls to come forth, and I mention it one more time, the kahunis, the balls. And he's going to come out on our show and tell us what he actually saw himself with his own eyes, a captive Bigfoot, okay? Don't ask me his name. Don't ask me where he comes from. Don't ask me where he saw it, because that's all off the table tonight, okay? He is one hell of a guy. We're going to call him JR, And we're going to be talking to him pretty soon. But don't touch that dial because he is fascinating. Before we go any further, let's do our shout-outs, okay, Marco?
Sure enough, let's do it.
Okay, we're going to... Hey, Brian Carr from KZ95, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, got a hell of a gig happening on Halloween. He wants us out there. We're going to be there. Robin Ribello, Palo Alto, California. Thanks for your support, sweetheart. My good buddy George out in Phoenix sent me a picture of a 15-foot rattler. Man, I'm going to put that on the website. When you guys see this thing, you're going to say, oh, my God. Thing has to weigh 25 pounds. Got to tell you. Has to weigh 25 pounds. T. Miller from Paris, Texas. Hey, man. He writes, next time we're in Paris, Texas, can we give him a call? He's got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Yeah, we were just in Paris, Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Destiny from Texas has a good feeling. Hey, baby, how are you? Good to see that you're back in the realm. And she writes me a letter, and she says, Tom, you rock, buddy. Okay, thank you. A little toot for Destiny. Jeff from Palo Alto. You and your team are doing a wonderful job. Thank you, Jeff. Tamara Halke. You know, you guys remember Tara Halke up there in Happy Camp? She sent in her picture. She lost all this weight, and she's looking for a good guy. Maybe we'll put her up on the website there, see if we can find a lover for Tara Halke. Okay, good girl. Glenn Ravenald. This guy's up in Santa Cruz. Hey, up in California. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy's got a great theory. I'm going to have him on the show one week. And Leroy Blevins out in Ohio. Leroy, damn, I don't know where you come up with this stuff, buddy. He made a Patterson suit. And if you look at his suit next to the Patterson suit, you would think it's the same thing. Blew me away. Jan Allen from Georgia. Hey, buddy, thanks for your support. And thanks for keeping on with us, man. We love you out here. Stefan Wren. Haunted Voices Radio Network. I think we're on this Friday. Two-hour show, ladies and gentlemen. 2 hours this Friday. Marco Bill will have it up there, and same thing with Jabba Bob. Jennifer Nielsen. Mm-hmm. Arnold, California. She bore a welcome mount. But, you know, Jennifer, you got to give us an address, darling. P.O. boxes do not get delivered by UPS. So they asked me to tell you, please write back with your real address so we can get that thing delivered to you ASAP, okay? You darling. John King, Alabama. Congrats, buddy. I'm not saying nothing. Don't worry about it. You're my buddy. But congrats. Let me give a little toot to my buddy John King. Paul McKinney. Thanks, man. Unbelievable for all those birthday wishes that you sent out to us. You know, and I could never forget my buddy, my gentle giant. Steve Kaufman up there in Northern California. What a coincidence, man. I got your email about Ivan. Unbelievable. And you know what? No show would be complete. No show would be complete, ladies and gentlemen, without my cheerleaders. They know who they are, but I'm going to tell them just in case they forgot, okay? To Connie, to Becky, to Bo, to Leslie, to Susan, and of course to Gigi, because it wasn't for her, none of this could be all possible. We love you. I love you. Keep it up. And this song goes out to you. Pure ecstasy. Don't ever forget that. My lovely cheerleaders. These girls, we'd be nowhere without them. They keep us going through all the trials and tribulations, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you something else. This next guest we got going has me had me all week on the edge of my chair. Without any further ado, we're going somewhere out there in Arizona. We're going to speak to a guy named JR. You out there with us, good buddy?
Yep. JR, you're on.
Hello?
JR, how are you, my good bud?
Well, I'm still here. Not doing bad.
Okay, listen, I don't want you to leave anything out, but here's the game rules that we're going to run by. And I respect you like I told you earlier, okay? I don't want you to tell anybody where it was, when it was, but I just want you to tell the story, how you ended up there in that government institution, and exactly what you saw and what went through your mind at the time. You've got the stage, my friend. This is JR, ladies and gentlemen, from out there in Arizona.
Well, okay. First of all, let's not call it an institution. It was a government facility. I guess, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, brother.
All right. It was a government facility. I had gone into this facility on tour. They advised us before we got in there to use some caution with some of the people that we would be seeing. These people that we walked through and we saw were people that were not, that you don't normally see on the street. They're protected in this facility where they don't have to deal with the public. There is one individual that I saw in there that she was in about an 8-foot square, more like a cell. She was seated on a stool, a bar stool, something to that effect, with a back on it. To describe her to you, she was 6 foot or less, probably tall. Like I say, she was sitting on a stool, so it's kind of hard to say exactly how tall she was. She was slender. She was covered with hair, including portions of her face and her neck, the rest of her torso. The hair was approximately 1.5 to 2 inches long, except for the hair on her head. She had a long mane of hair. She went down her back. There were people there that took care of her, that bathed her, spent a lot of time brushing her hair. She didn't speak. Tom, I told you earlier she had black eyes. Are you aware that I don't think there's anything that has black eyes? I told you that to get a rise out of you.
Well, you did. You did get that rise out of me, and I got to tell you this. You know, when you describe this thing to me, it has every image that I've ever seen anyway that throughout the 36 years of my tenure of an Almasty, the stuff that they have over there in Georgia.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And do you remember the breasts at all? Were they hanging? Were they straight out? Do you remember, were they covered by hair? Did the nipples show? And the reason why I'm asking you this, because there's stuff on the internet right now, and if you go up there to Google and punch in Alma or Almasty, you'll see pictures of these things where they have large protruding breasts and the nipples are protruding. And you and I didn't talk about this before, but at the same point in time, you said about the mane, the large mane, that they were brushing it back. And you're going to see that on the Google right now if you guys or my listeners go out there and Google it. So do you remember it all?
I can see the hair on the front side of her, what was not quite as thick or as long as the rest of the hair. Okay, now that was seemed to me like that was shorter hair, and it was finer. Now, by finer, I mean that I could look at her and I could see the shape of her breasts, the form of her breasts, and I don't mind telling you, they were nice, firm breasts, probably about the size of a grapefruit. You could see the nipples. They were not long, protruding nipples. The back to the eyes, she did have dark blue eyes. And I remember them being dark blue because I'd never seen a person with that dark blue of eyes. So it did catch my eye.
Well, I got to tell you something. That's the first time that this is something new for me. And you know what? I learn every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't learn something new or I've heard something new. And the person that tells you that is full of crap, believe me. And, yeah. And I got to tell you this. You know, I've seen the blue eyes on the mushers and the huskies up in Alaska when I was up there. I've
yep.
seen them on other animals. I've never seen them. I've seen the yellow. I've seen the green, the night eyes, and I've seen the reds, the red eyes also. But I've never seen blue. This is something new to me. Incredible. So how long were you in the presence of this thing?
We were walking in a line of a group of about probably 6 to 8 people. I don't remember how many people there were there. It was a low number of people. But we were just kind of walking by. Now, she was kind of sneering at people as they walked by. And, you know, people are indifferent. They are, well, they're not only indifferent, they are anything they see, they don't understand. They'll make snide remarks. They'll make remarks that are literally uncouth, so to speak. Okay? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Definitely so, yeah.
Okay? So she would hear different comments as this group of people would walk by, and she would sneer at them. And every once in a while, you could see her raise her upper lip. She had, you know, how some people have canine teeth that are quite noticeable.
Right. I was just going to ask you, if she sneered up with her upper lip, did you get a chance to see the teeth? Were they canines?
They were canines, not like that of a dog. It was more human. They protruded a little bit longer than the rest of the teeth, but nothing sharp. They were just human canine teeth.
So let me ask you this: Did you guys get a chance to ask questions? Were they meat eaters? Were they, you know, were they carnivores or were they herbivores or what?
We didn't get a chance to ask questions, but I'm going to tell you something. I got up to her. I was about the fourth or fifth one in line. I was toward the back of the line, and I got up to her and I looked at her. I hadn't said anything to her or anything about her. I looked at her. And I just, for some reason, I looked at her and I says, it's going to be okay. That's all I said to her, it's going to be okay. And she looked at me. Tom, you could see tears well up in her eyes. It was as though she understood what I had told her.
Wow. Wow. That is incredible. That is so off the hook. So how long did this procession line go by these, let's say, oddities? I don't know what to label it, JR, but how long before they escorted you or ushered you outside the building, and then when you did get outside the building and went home and saw your friends, relatives, and neighbors, what was the first words out of your mouth?
Norman took about, probably half an hour to go through the whole thing. We saw and spoke with a number of the individuals. Some of them we were allowed to speak to. Others we were told to stay away from, not talk to, stay away from. which is exactly what we did. Like I say, it took us about a half an hour to get through the facility.
Okay. So when you went through the facility and you got out of there, what did you go home? What did you do?
Well, they turned us loose to let us go our separate ways. I did so. First thing I did was go to a coffee shop, and I sat there and had coffee and thought about what I'd seen. I didn't talk to anybody. Didn't want to. I don't know what anybody else did, but this is what I did. I took my time about getting home. I started thinking about what I was going to tell family, and when I did get home, they looked at me and said, "How'd your day go?" And I just looked at them and I told them I'd had a very strange day, and I really wasn't interested in talking about it. And to this day, I have not told my family anything. My family knows nothing about this.
Well, then I got to ask you this. You know, and I respect you as a human being, as a fellow man, and I seen what you did to get a hold of me. You know, you saw our piece on TV there in Arizona, and then you wrote me, and we've talked. We've talked a few times now, and you've blown my mind. You've blown my mind the 2-3 times that we've talked, and tonight you've blown my mind again. And I feel the sincerity in your voice. I got to tell you this, JR. I really do. I feel that what you saw was something that nobody else has ever seen, unless they've seen one of our creatures. As you know, when we've talked before, I've had 6 encounters in 36 years. There's other people out there in our Bigfoot world on BigfootLiveRadioShow.com that have seen these creatures. And we all respect everybody that's on this show. You are a fascinating person, okay? I can't wait until we meet together. And you know that's going to be coming up real quick, real soon. We'll sit down, have a cup of Joe, and face-to-face, and there'll be a lot of questions that I'll be able to ask you in person that I can't ask on the air. And I respect that, believe me, I really do. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And from all of my boys and all my people out there in the Bigfoot world, we thank you for coming on and telling your experience. You know what you might want to do? You might want to just mute yourself out, listen to some of these other experiences that we're going to be hearing, because we got a lot more show ahead of us, JR. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, my friend.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you something. You're the fourth person I've ever mentioned it to.
And let me tell you, JR, I'm totally honored. Believe me, you've made my night. You've made, I'm sure, my listeners' night. And I'm sure that we'll get into this a lot deeper. And we got a lot more talking to do. So just mute yourself out. I don't know if Marco told you how to do that, but listen to the rest
of
the show.
Tom, I mute everybody else.
Okay, then take care of them, would you? God bless you, my brother.
Good night, JR. Okay,
fascinating story, Bill. Marco,
absolutely.
I'm telling you, the guy is totally off the hook. You know, without any further ado, they're having that big shindig out there at Lamar Point, and I wonder if my brother and sister is on the line from out there in Lamar Point next to Paris, Texas. Donna, you out there, darling?
I'm out here, Tom. How are you doing tonight?
Wow, did you just hear that guy? Did you hear his story?
I mean to tell you, yes, it's fascinating.
When I first heard it, Donna, it just gave me chills down my spine, and his sincerity. The man is just incredible.
You're right.
And you know what? These stories just keep on coming, girlfriend.
Yeah, he's definitely experienced something that a lot of people would love to experience.
At least one time in their life, huh?
Exactly. It's absolutely amazing.
Listen, tell me, how's the momentum building? Is it going crazy out there?
is going crazy, Tom. We're having so much success with this. And, I mean, we're just going to build and build, and next year it's going to be even bigger and better. We are getting response from everyone, and it's all positive. And we didn't imagine that our first year would get as large as it did, and it has, and people are already talking about next year. So
is that not great? Come on now. All that hard work that you did, and Gino did, and Bobby did, and all the rest of you guys, my God, come on now. And you know what? Because the day after that gig, because I know who your headliner is next year. What's that guy's name?
Does Tom Biscardi ring a bell?
I love you, girl. Let me tell you something. They don't come any finer than you. Ladies and gentlemen, you want the best food in the West? You get out there, man, and Texas out to Lamar Point. I'm going to tell you something. She's got a cook that is so off the hook. Her name is Paula. Paula, if you're listening, I love you, baby. This girl can cook, man. What the hell was that stuff with the gravy? Chicken fried steak. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, they got a thing called the Bigfoot Burger out there. But you know what? Even the Gentle Giant can't even finish that thing. Tell them about it.
The Bigfoot Burger is over a pound of meat. It has sautéed mushrooms, grilled onions, bell peppers, and Swiss cheese, and whatever else you want on it.
And let me tell you something. She's right. It is humongous. The only person that can eat it is the Bigfoot himself. But you know what, darling? It's all about you, and this is November 6th, 7th, and 8th, correct?
Correct. And Gene's sitting here. He's got some things he wants to say, too.
Come on, Gene.
How you doing, Tom?
Well, I'm doing super, super, super califragilistic expialidocious. My man, hey. I'm so high right now, you have no understanding after just hearing this first guy, JR. That's one of the biggest dreams a person could have, is actually seeing one of these creatures. But he got to see it for a half hour and really examine it. I mean, this is one hell of a story. But you know what? That was his segment of the show, and yours is now. So what we need to do is tell everybody, because I like your rap, man. You've got some good tantalizing stuff to say about what's going to happen up there at Lamar Point on the 6th, 7th, and 8th of November. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Well, Tom, I got to agree with you. JR, man, he's got a heck of a story there. I think it's definitely something you ought to be following up on, and I know you are. But get back to our little thing here. You know, we really really enjoyed having you down here and what you have showed us on your little presentation that you gave us. Man, it's just awesome. I want to see it again.
Pretty incredible stuff, huh? And you know
it
what?
Is.
A lot of people in the world that are out there in the Bigfoot world, especially on Bigfoot Live Radio right now, have not seen what you guys have seen. But I got to tell you, when I was out there, it was the truth.
Yeah.
I got my start. Me and my boys got my start, our start, right there at Lamar Point, okay? And
I mean, everybody out here, when they found out, you know, as everybody goes about their way after you left here, and we were talking, and I said, you know, searching for Bigfoot was out here, and they showed us a presentation. It was just, you know, awesome. And everybody's like, when's this guy coming back? I said, well, the guy's name's Tom Biscardi. And I said, you can get on the internet and you can look him up. And some of them have even done that and have hit your website. And they're like, well, you know, next time you come by, you know, let us know because we want to meet this guy.
You know, Gino, I got to tell you what happened. We got in excess of 317 emails, 317 off the last show. And what Jabba Bob, I don't know if you've been up to the website. It shows you guys on our website. You're right up on top. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com, and you'll see your pictures there. And it shows when we were there giving our little soliloquy with our little presentation. We had over 300 and some odd emails from people wanting to know where it's going to be, when it's going to be. So we're going to post it up on our websites to make sure that everybody knows how to get there and everything and where what the dates that you guys have. But why don't you tell our listeners out there, and by the way, what is the theme name this year?
This year is the first annual Lamar Point Festival Searching for Bigfoot.
Wait a minute, I got to give a little toot. I love that, Gene. And I asked Donna, I says, Donna, where'd you get that name? She says, I stole it from you guys.
Well, we didn't start it. We just apprehended it for a little while.
You just borrowed it, huh? You just borrowed it a little bit. Tell everybody where it's going to be, when it's going to be, and who you're going to have.
Well, the first annual Lamar Point Festival is going to be November 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's going to be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be in Lamar Point, Texas. It's about 12 miles north of Paris, Texas, off of Highway 271. What we're going to be having out here, we're going to have all kinds of vendors. And just give you a little short rundown of the type of vendors that we're going to have out here. We're going to have a vendor that does cedar wood hand carvings. Stained glass work. We have jewelry. We've got Mary Kay vendors. Everybody is wanting in on this thing. I mean, we're just daily getting it. It's coming together and coming together and coming together. I mean, I worked 14, 16 hours a day on my regular job, and this year has been becoming a job. I think I've got more time in this already. But we've already got a handmade wooden work that's coming in. There's a gentleman coming in that does painted knives. You can come out, hey, get him to paint Bigfoot on a commemorative knife for you and then give you something to hang on to. We also, on the 7th from 3 to 6 p.m., we're going to have a Star Life helicopter come in. It's the same thing as a Care Flight emergency deal, because this is what the whole festival is getting medical equipment for our area. And all the proceeds of this is all going to medical equipment. But they're going to come out, and maybe we can get you a picture. We're going to have a Bigfoot replica here. Maybe we can get a picture of that and send to you, Tom, and have him sitting in a helicopter.
Boy, I'd love it. I'd love it. I can't wait till next year. I really can't, to be out there with all of our friends and our newborn family. I got to tell you something, Gino. You're a breath of fresh air, and I want to thank you for what you're doing, not only for your community out there, but for all of us here in the Bigfoot world. God bless you, my brother.
Bet. Thanks, Tom.
Be well. Say hello to Bob and everybody else out there.
Java Bob, how are you?
Well, no, I'm talking about your Bob. But Java Bob, you'll be hearing from him tonight too, okay?
Yeah, you're talking about the one that's taking care of our entertainment for us. Yeah,
that's the guy, Bobby.
Oh, okay, yeah. We're going to have that live entertainment every night. And just about all day long on Saturday, we'll have entertainment on Sunday, the 7th and 8th. We'll have Donna's going to be cranking them Bigfoot burgers out. We've got a lady that come up and said, one of our locals here come up and said, hey, I got a great idea for help y'all out. She is making Bigfoot vest with.
Oh, yes, I saw them. My God, any of you guys get to go out there and look at these things, buy one. They are off the hook, man. That girl, that chick, but big of a flea. How big is that little girl? Boy.
What, 4'3"?
She was just something else. But I'll tell you what, she had a demeanor and a disposition of a wonderful person, and I can't wait to see her again. Tell her to make me one real special, will you, next time I come out there, and I'll wear it proud as can be.
There you go. When you come out, I bet you Marianne will have you fixed right up. She's also going to throw in a Bigfoot quilt. She's going to have some Bigfoot quilts and blankets and stuff that some will be getting raffled off. Some of them she's going to sell and all. But, you know, we've got so much going on. We've got food vendors that's coming in. We've got different craft vendors coming in. We have people from CareFlight coming in, going to be doing demonstrations and explaining some of the medical equipment that we're trying to get the money raised up to purchase. It's going to be excellent. It's going to be excellent. The only thing's missing is you.
Baby, let me tell you something. If I get a chance to come out, you know I'm going to be there also. But at the same point in time, I want all my listeners to know this. We're going to have my buddy Lee out there from Texas and Bruce the Snake Man. They're going to have, we're going to have a booth out there. I talked to Donna the other day, and I got some special merchandising happening just for your show, and we're going to have it in time just for your event. So we're going to have one hellacious time, and I can't wait. I just can't wait. I really can.
You bet. I mean, you know, everybody needs to come out if they've never experienced anything like this, like they hold all over the country for Northeast Texas. This is going to be the first one. It's going to be the original. It's going to be the grandfather for them in Texas. And this thing, like Donna said earlier, it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger. And we're going to run out of room out here, I hope. And you know, everybody come out, enjoy it. Get some memorabilia, get yourself some souvenirs, come out and have some good time. We're going to get a picture of Bigfoot eating some cotton candy around here. That's what we're going to do.
I love it. I love it. Okay, good buddies. Well, listen, boy, we're running into overtime tonight. We got plenty more show. Mute yourself out. Gino, God bless you. Bobby, Donna, Jimmy, see you next time. We'll talk next week, okay?
All right. Thanks, Tom. See ya.
Bye, Donna. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, they got one hell of a thing that's happening up there. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, listen, I got some great news. A little toot for my girl up in Mississippi. Lori Lager. You heard about her. She's the author there of the Night Walker. What a book. Oh, man. If you haven't got the book, get it now, okay? Because it'll blow your mind, okay? From the first line or two, she gets you hooked, okay? It's intrigue, it's sex, it's drama. It'll fulfill your brain, man. It'll make you think. You gotta get that book. But let me tell you why I'm so pumped. She signed on. She's going to be doing our book, my book, first time ever tell-all book about my life and the times with Bigfoot, including the hoax and all the bullshit that's gone on throughout these years. Let's go out to Mississippi without any further ado. Laurie, you out there, darling?
I'm here, Tom.
How are you?
I'm just sitting here enjoying this show.
Is this one hell of a show tonight?
This is a good one. And, hey, Donna needs to buy up a bunch of my books to sell over there in November.
Ooh, good thinking. Yes. Yes, we'll have them out there because we'll have all of them. You know, I got to tell you something. You know, your book came. They forwarded it on to me, and I've got to tell you, I couldn't put the damn thing down, and I hate to read. I hate to read, okay? And where did you come off with this style? That's what that got me hooked with you.
That's just the way it's in my head. That's the way I'm doing your book now. We're going to go totally outside the box with your book, but the thing with yours is, it's going to be your past 36 years of all your travels, your evidence, your documentation. Everything's going to be true in this book. But the way we're going to put it together, Tom, it's going to be so edge of your seat. Me and you six are going to make everybody set up and notice this for the first time. When they read this book, they're going to set up and take some notice.
Baby, let me tell you something. I believe it. I believe it because when that first 100-page manuscript gets done, I have a feeling that Doubleday or Simon & Schuster is going to be knocking at the door.
Let's hope so. We'll be partying then.
Get down with your bad self, Lori Geller. My, my, my. Well, I got to tell you something. You put a little shine in my eyes, girl, because I really don't take heed to many writers, many authors. But, man, you know how to do it, girlfriend. You really
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. You can let Java Bob and Becky and Tom Jr., Steve Coles, everybody know they're going to be right in there in the book, too. We're not going to forget any of them.
That's fantastic, honey. I'm proud to have you aboard with us. You know what? Just mute yourself out. We got plenty more show. I love you, darling.
I love you too, Tom, and I'll be listening.
Thanks, sweetheart. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Lori Lager. Oh, man, she's the author of that Bigfoot book, The Night Walker. Unbelievable. I couldn't put the damn thing down. I don't like to read. How do you like that? But you know what? We need to go on the other side of this commercial because we've got to pay some bills. It's back at you there, Marco.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody turned their
whole
around.
The hand was freaking
out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives.
Right now.
At
www.
searchingforbigfoot.com.
Back to you, Tom. And Frank Cosolo is on.
You know, I got to tell you a story first. You know, unbelievable. You know, we hear it all the time, Bigfoot Lives, our movie. This movie is being hailed as the best and most informative Bigfoot documentary ever. You've seen all the rest. You've been with all the rest. Now come with the best, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't seen Bigfoot Lives and you don't own it in your collection, get it now. Don't walk. Don't crawl. Run. Run. Let your fingers do the walking. Go to our website. Go to Amazon.com. But you know what? You're going to be glad that you did. Man, that's one hell of a movie. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Arizona with my newfound friend, Frank Cosolo. He runs that historic Seligman Sundries out there, ladies and gentlemen. This guy has become a brother from another mother quicker than hell. He's picked up. He's got www.route66bigfoot.com. Remember that now. www.route66bigfoot.com. Started a website, and what he's actually doing, he's giving everybody a tidbit every day of what we find and our little sayings for the day. Go up there and take a look at it, ladies and gentlemen. Without any further ado, Frank, you on the phone?
Yeah, I am. Tom, how you doing?
Well, if I felt any better, I have to see a doctor, young man. I'm feeling like $1 million. And you know what? Thanks to people like you, Frank. First of all, before we get any further, tell everybody about the historic Seligman Sundries. How'd that all get started? And don't leave out the story about the movie about the tomato car. I love that.
Yeah, Seligman, Arizona is a town that was the inspiration for the movie Cars, one of the towns on Route 66. And a lot of the ideas came from the town, and we have a shop in town. It's a coffee shop. Gift shop, and it was built in 1904. It's the oldest commercial building in town, and it has been turned into a full-service coffee bar. So we have quite a few people coming through, a lot of Europeans, a lot of tourists. Everybody that wants to travel Route 66 stops in Seligman, and we serve the best espresso and coffee drinks on the whole route. We were just awarded Best Business of the Year on Route 66 by the Route 66 Foundation. That's for the new business, for all that we've done for the last 3 years. And so I think we're pretty respected and liked on the route.
Well, I could tell you this in a short period of time, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen what this man, how he works and what he does, and wow. He's incredible, just incredible. He just blows me away. He just takes charge and makes things happen. And when I say that, I mean he's the guy that was a concerned citizen there in Arizona, called the media and says, hey, man, we've got the Bigfoot guys out here. How come nobody's covering this? Damn, if they didn't come out. You might want to go. If you haven't seen the CBS and the ABC or AZ3, he's got him up on his line there. Just go up on that website, www.route66bigfoot.com, or on ours, bigfootlive.com. I think you've captured him, haven't you, Marco?
Certainly have. They're both up there. It's www.bigfootlive.com.
Okay, and you either get him on there or you get him on Frank's. Frank, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you're doing for me and my boys. And you become an honorary SFBI guy right now.
Yeah, you know, if I could interject something, I know you're short on time, but, you know, it was very impressive, and that's what prompted me to call the media and get the media involved. Java Bob's presentation and his evidence and the way he conducted himself was very credible and a very good presentation, which is very important with something like this. And the reaction in town has been great. It's been mixed, which is good, which we expected, but it has stirred up quite a bit of interest, and we'll keep that interest going and make sure it's all positive, and appreciate working with you and giving us the time and letting us be part of this. The phone started ringing off the hook on Saturday morning from all over, virtually all over the United States, when they heard about this on the radio, on the television, on Channel 5. And that's why we immediately put up the website, and we'll keep working on that. But thanks for letting us be part of this.
Hey, thank you, my brother, and God bless you. Listen, we got plenty more show. Just mute yourself out, listen in. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Frank Kosovar out there in Seligman, Arizona. He runs Historic Seligman Sundries. And just all you have to do is mention his name. Everybody in the world knows it. It's not but 2-3 blocks long, the whole town. Frank, God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, we're going to go up to Washington. This woman is incredible. She had a sighting when she was a little girl, but it blew my mind. Here comes another female, ladies and gentlemen. Pauline Connolly, you out there, darling?
Hi, yes.
How are you, dear? Thank you for coming on in such short notice. Listen, without any further ado, honey, tell everybody what happened, and don't leave anything out, okay?
Okay. I was about 12 years old, and I was walking through the woods. There's this area in the woods that is all clay. Nothing really grows there but some trees around the edges of it and stuff. And it was summertime, and it was quite dry. And I was walking through, and my foot went down like I stepped into a mud puddle or something. And I looked down, and it looked like my foot was inside of another footprint. And I was looking at it, touching it with my fingers and stuff, thinking how heavy whatever it was that walked through had made the footprint. And I heard a branch break, and I looked up, and it was standing behind a tree watching me. It just stood there watching, and I guess our eyes were just looking into each other's eyes. I just couldn't get my eyes from his eyes or her eyes. And I was just standing there. I couldn't move. I was like in shock or something. And it moved away from the tree and just started walking away and was watching me as it walked away. And I noticed that it had breasts hanging down. So, and I just kind of stood there for quite a long time and got my breath again and was able to go home. And I told a few people, but they didn't, after I said the breast part, I kind of got picked on quite a bit. So
let me ask you this. When you saw all this going on, I know that you were still a young age, what went through your mind?
Oh, wow. So many things. Whether it was an animal or a human, that I think that was the most thing that went through my mind was whether it was, because it didn't seem to be an animal and it didn't seem to be human, but I wasn't afraid of it, you know, like it attacking me or anything like that. I don't know. A lot of things.
You know what I got to say to you, young lady? Welcome to the world of Sasquatch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Thank you for sharing your story with me.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on with a short notice. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this dear lady, this dear gal, is courtesy, okay, of Miss Becky Butello. Because she's out there doing the work of all these other people out there for us. And thank you, Becky, from the bottom of my heart. And you know what? Thank you, Pauline. And I hope to meet you when I'm up there next time, okay?
Yeah, that would be great.
Look forward to it, darling. Just mute yourself. Mark will mute you out, and we got still a little bit more show. Some good stuff coming up, too. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. They just keep on coming, these stories, ladies and gentlemen. Don't they? They just keep coming. You know what? Without any further ado, they say that you save the best for last. And I'm going to tell you what. They're all great stories tonight. But this last guy that's coming on, Richard Stubbard, he's down there in Southern Cal. This man is incredible. He's a layman, but his theory is just incredible. He wrote me and talked about the analysis that came through on the nail. Also talked about the analysis of the stuff that was up there in Snell Grove, up there in Canada. And it blows my mind, okay, up there at Northwest Ontario. It says, you know, Tom, why couldn't they, meaning the academia world, the scientists, okay, come up and say, with the stuff that Biscardi's people found and stuff that they found at Snell Grove and all the other stuff that's been found throughout this country or world, why don't they isolate that into another category? They're just too stupid, I think. Without any further ado, let's get down there and let's talk to Richie. Richie, there?
I sure am, Tom. How are you?
Thank you. I'm high right now, okay? Have you been listening to the show?
I sure have. It's another interesting show, as usual.
And that's the reason why, you know what, if I didn't have Marco Bill finding these wonderful people and pursuing them and making them come on the show the way he does, he's just a cupcake, that son of a gun. I just love him to death. But I'll tell you this, you jerked at my heart when you sent me this first email. I got to tell you that. It just blows my mind. Why don't you tell my listeners real quick exactly what you sent over and what you said?
Well, Tom, I got my idea from looking at your website, and I saw a picture of a toenail on there that your folks, I guess, recovered down in northern Arizona. Is that right?
That's correct, Rich.
And where are you right now, by the way? Are you down there?
I am.
Well, good. Then we won't keep you too long. We've got to get you back out to work tonight. Anyway, that toenail, I understand there was some blood on it, and I was thinking that would be ideal for DNA analysis. And sure enough, it says on your website you have sent it in to have it DNA analyzed. And when I saw the results, what you quote is 99% human and 1% other, or other hominoid.
Unknown primate.
Unknown primate, thank you. It perked my interest because, you know, Tom, people have been out there taking movies and video and pictures and eyewitness accounts since the 1950s, in fact, since the late 1800s, if you read back far enough. Also, no matter how many eyewitness accounts you come up with, no matter how many footprints you all find and cast, everybody still says, or by and large, most of the population says, we're imagining things. It's not true. So, with today's technology, this is rocket science now. What you can do is figure out what the DNA is in these creatures and determine if they're humanoid or animal or superhumanoid or whatever they are. So that's where the DNA argument came up. So rather than just say, oh, it's 99% human, what they need to do, and I imagine they've done this, is they have to do something called a mitochondrial DNA analysis. And they get a bunch of DNA, they get DNA samples, and DNA is like a map, Tom. It's a map of the genetic code that's been passed down through your mother and their mothers and so forth throughout the ages. And the DNA occasionally will mutate, and that's what creates differences between human, chimpanzees, other animals. All living things has a DNA code. What we want to determine now is the DNA code of your nail and other samples around the world the same as a human DNA? Apparently not. Is it the same as a chimpanzee? Is it the same as a gorilla? Apparently not. I'm looking at a web page right now that shows the difference between human DNA and Neanderthal DNA. Now, if they can go in and find a Neanderthal specimen that's 30,000 years old, they certainly can go in and get some DNA samples from various Bigfeet or Almasty from Russia or whatever and try to determine if they belong to the same family. Maybe they belong even to our family. Because up there at Snell Grove Lake, they stated there was only one DNA pair that was different. Well, most people have at least one pair different from the next one. Otherwise, we'd be identical. So there's nothing surprising about one DNA pair being different. In fact, that makes the Snell Grove Lake sample probably human. But was it a Sasquatch? Was it a human being? Was it a bear? Wasn't a bear. What was it? That's what these folks have to do. They got to put their heads together and figure out if the DNA from Russia, if the DNA from the gentleman that called in earlier today, from that female that was locked up someplace in Arizona, the DNA from your nail, are they the same? And how different are they from human beings?
You know, Richie, I got to tell you, your theory has parroted my sayings all along. You know, why in the world can academia, why can't the scientific world classify or put in a category that all this stuff that does is inconclusive, nothing on file, that say, hey, it is a subspecies of something that we don't know, a primate that we don't know, but they just won't do it until they find a cadaver, I think. That's what it's all about, and that's what we're all about. You know what? I got to tell you something. We're going to have you back on again. We ran out of time. My boys, I love you. Bob, Rob, Alex. Alex, I'm sorry that you've fallen asleep, son, but you work too much hard. You work too hard anyway. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for coming on. And guess what? Back to you, Marco, because I know you're going to yell at me because we're going in overtime. God bless you guys.
Well, Tom, you got to say the closing words.
From here, there, and everywhere. Till next time, America.
Good night, everybody.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is so like
everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand
and
was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
skies. Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.